Blog Talk Radio.
www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. That is www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. So it's a good product. Her name is Ambrosia L.D. Cannon. So check that product out. So we thank God that we're here on another session. We weren't here live on last week, but we are today, June 5th, 2013. We're live with our broadcast, so we thank God for that, that we're able to look into the word of the Lord. It is our light and salvation, as David said, and also He is the strength of our life, talking about the Lord, of whom shall I be afraid, as he said in his testimony. So also his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And this is what we always like to say. We're looking into the mirror, and you want to see yourself when you look into the mirror. So you want to measure up to what you're talking about when you look in the mirror. So it's called The Perfect Law of Liberty by James. So we thank God for that. So we still have been talking about the Godhead for a number of months, and then surely Jesus is the center of attraction. Definitely he is the one that we should be talking about, and not we ourselves. So not trying to vaunt yourself or nothing, but you can say what the word of the Lord says, and definitely the Bible is the truth when it is rightly divided. And so when you read in 1 Corinthians Apostle Paul's letter in the 14th chapter, he says that God is not the author of confusion. So people get very upset when the one book that you talk about, and that is called the Bible. So truth is definitely in Jesus. So you can't go wrong when you talk about him and what his word says and rightly divide his word. You can't go wrong. So we just want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Definitely talking about people that have been born again. When he wrote to the church at Ephesus or the Ephesian church, and what I just read in your hearing is Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. So we thank God for that, that we're able to look into his word. So I believe on the last time we were talking about the priestly prayer, actually the Lord's Prayer, in the 17th chapter of St. John. So many people say in Matthew and Luke, they call it the Lord's Prayer. The writer of the Bible, of depending on who it was, Dakes or Schofield or whoever, they noted the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually when Jesus' disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, it is actually not the Lord's Prayer, but it is the model prayer. And then people do read it in unisons when they're committing a body to the ground or whatever. In those kinds of services in a cemetery, they call it the Lord's Prayer. But in reality, it is the model prayer, because he didn't say, repeat after me, but he says, when ye pray, pray after this manner. So thank God for that. And so go back a little bit, bring us back up to where we want to go today, talking about the deity of Jesus Christ and the oneness. And there's only one in the Godhead, and some things we can touch on as we are on our way moving through the scriptures. So he's the true vine, as he says in the 15th chapter of St. John. Then he goes on, you are clean now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Then he goes on to say, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So it's definitely deity, and that kind of a statement that he made, without me ye can do nothing. So he goes on, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then he goes on, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And he goes on, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. And notice, this is initially, he's talking to the apostles that were with him. So the servant, henceforth I call you not servants, he said, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then he, these things I command you, that ye love one another. So that was the first commandment. You think back, you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, love thy neighbor as thyself. So that don't change. So all the law is fulfilled in one word, love. So that's why the righteousness of the law has to be fulfilled. And that's what in the 8th chapter of Romans, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he goes on, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Then he goes on to say what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They who mind the things of the flesh, and they that mind the things of the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit, is what he is saying. So you got to watch. If you're walking after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he said, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But so then, they that are in the flesh cannot be please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, so be it that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And he goes on, remember now, these people are already saved. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh, because we're not glorified yet. So that is very important. So our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal. You know, knives and guns and whatever people use, bombs and all of that. But our weapons are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. So it's not a spiritual, I mean, it's not a natural or a carnal warfare or battle, but it's a spiritual warfare and battle. And the battle is God's, and God always wins. So that's why we have to put on the whole armor of God, as in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which are tricks and all those kinds of things. So the devil would have people to be mad at one another, and he knows he's was a created being. He can't be saved, but he is deceiving so many people to have ills one against another. And we know the first murder was Cain killed his own brother, Abel. So, Abel. And so, what about us? So you can't, sometimes you got to let things go and realize, like, if the devil uses people, and some of the same people, you don't want to be lost with them in a pit. Like Jesus referred to them as vipers. Now, a viper, you know, is a deadly snake, and you don't want to be there in the lake of fire with all the hypocrites and all the whoremongers and adulterers and liars and murderers and thieves and all those kind of people. Nobody in their right mind want to be there. And like I've said at times, even on this particular broadcast, I used to do prison ministry for 20 years, and I virtually did women's ministry for, I think, 18 of those 20 years. We started off in men's facility for the first couple of years. But anyway, used to tell them, people used to say hell yes or hell yeah, and I said you should be saying no to hell, because nobody in their right mind wants to go there, and it was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for man, but we know man is going there because they don't want to listen to God, and eternity is a long time. And the worst sin in the whole wide world is one word, unbelief. So we got to believe God. That's why the writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and 6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And thank God he is a forgiving God. That's why John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's such thing, even in the world, as grace, as forgiveness. Sometimes people don't want to forgive people, but they want to be forgiven. But that's a universal law. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So you reap what you sow, and you can't get away, because God created that universal law. So anyway, just so important, even in the words of our Lord and things that he said, and there's only one in the Godhead, and people just don't seem to get the message. God is light, in him no darkness at all. It's the one God. There's always only been one God. That is the great mystery. That's what we read when we go off the air, without controversy. So there's no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Then, so the subject is God was manifest in the flesh. We know it was Jesus. He's eternal, but the Son isn't. That office is going to be done away with. So God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What's the subject? God is the subject. So that's why Colossians 2 and 9, talking about Jesus, in him dwelleth all the fullness, all the fullness of the Godhead body. All is all in that context. Romans 1 and 20, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what he is writing about. So in Acts 17 and 29, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver and gold and man's devices and all that. So there is only one in the Godhead. So just like I said on before, some things people don't understand, the right hand of God, the arm of the Lord, and terms like that. When Stephen was stoned to death in Acts, the Bible said that he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and that is a term, not God with his hand out and Jesus standing on his hand. That don't even make sense. And a Jew, that's why the Jews had such a hard time in giving Jesus the credit. And that's the seventh chapter of Acts is what I'm making reference to. And so Stephen preached them out of the law, out of the law of Moses, when he preached unto them about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of that, and also about Jesus coming. And so he started off in Acts 6 and 8, and all on through 15th verse, Acts 6. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, talking about Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel, as it had been. So in other words, God got their attention. His glory was in this man. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And then Stephen went on and he preached to them. He said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken. In other words, listen, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. Talking about Abraham. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to his seed for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Talking about Abraham. God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them 400 years. And that nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God, and after they shall come forth, serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of the circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and making him governor over Egypt and his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Charan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance. When Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. And they were carried over unto Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. And I notice this is a message that Stephen still preaching, that he started in the 6th chapter of Acts and the 8th verse. So anyway, till another king arose which knew not Joseph, the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they were cast out their young children, to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was come out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nursed him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom and of the Egyptians, was mighty in words and deeds. Notice, and this is the man who wrote the Pentateuch. He wrote the 5 books. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brother and the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Would thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? So somebody saw what Moses did. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot 2 sons, and was there. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. This is God in the 3rd chapter of Exodus, I believe. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and was drawn. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. I have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them. And now come I will send thee unto Egypt. Now this is what the Lord told Moses, and this is what Stephen is preaching about. Then Moses, whom they refused, saying, He said, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge? The same day did our God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out, and after that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. This is in the book of Deuteronomy. This is he which was in the church in the wilderness. Now in the book of Hebrews it says a congregation in the wilderness. It's the self same thing. And which the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we would not. What has become of him? That's when he went up into the mount. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it was written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? This is a question. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Rephaim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the wilderness, tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he has seen, which our fathers that came after bought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. For we found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? So he goes on, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. That's talking about Jesus, whom ye have received, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Now, no, this is still his discourse, this sermon he's preaching. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So that's, in other words, he saw Jesus. And you know, he's got his hand out and he's standing on it. He is the one. And said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So in other words, he is the one. And they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him in the wilderness. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now that's Apostle Paul. When God saved him, he changed his name to Saul. I mean, he was Saul. He changed his name to Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And this is what Stephen said. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So in other words, he's sleeping Jesus, like I read that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter. If we believe that Jesus died, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So truly he is sleep in Jesus. So just to substantiate that a little bit, and Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So I made a statement one time that people talk about Rome, but God's holy mountain has always been Jerusalem. That's where the church started out, in Jerusalem. And Rome is not the holy mountain, but Jerusalem is the holy mountain of God. So that is definitely something to be note to be made of that. That is his holy mountain. So many people hate the Jews, hate Israel, but though they are God's chosen people, and ain't nothing we can do about it. You can't win fighting against God, and you can't win fighting against a child of God. You're going to lose. So many things, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So we just have to know how to do warfare and to do battle, because the world, something happens to them, they just give people a piece of their mind or curse them out. We throw people off of us too. We're pushovers. We don't know how to get people straight, but there is a way to do it. Like Jesus, I mean, he called people some, tell that fox, a fox is a, and a dog, same thing, or a viper, that's a snake. So truly, he was not a pushover. They knew what he was talking about when he said that, too. He called them a pit of vipers. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, you can't be no lower than a snake. That's a deadly snake called a viper. So he wasn't no pushover, and his children aren't either. But here we want to get into our subject where we are on today in the 21st chapter of St. John here. And definitely this is a after the he was crucified, and definitely after his resurrection, and also in the 20th chapter when he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and definitely was a high Sabbath when he rose from the dead. That's so people celebrate Easter. It was the high Sabbath day. Definitely was probably the middle of April. But it's okay to do that. I mean, you can celebrate the resurrection every day because he did get up from the dead. So you don't, there's not a command to do that once a year. That's just people doing that. I mean, they call it Easter. I mean, I think the word Easter, it's only in the scriptures one time I've seen it, I believe in the book of Acts. But anyway, it's more importantly dubbed the resurrection. So you can, that's always in order at any time. That's the crust of the gospel, is on the resurrection of Jesus, because he was crucified, and the important thing is that he got up from the dead. And so that is the victory, getting up. It's like he said, on the third day. That's the great hope that we have. So when you understand biblical terminology, people make mention about people being in heaven, but they're not right now. That's why it's going to be a resurrection of the dead. But anyway, this is after first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, that's John, the one who's writing the book, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, or the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, the other disciple did other disciple and came to the sepulcher. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, or sepulcher. That's John, because Peter was older than John. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher, seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which first came to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. See, their ears, they couldn't hear what he really, they heard, but they didn't. When he was saying that he was going to be crucified and he was going to rise again the third day, it didn't really register unto them. And you can read that in the 24th chapter of Luke. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. So you got to, the only way you can get understanding from the word is God has to give you understanding. You'd be taught and preached, but it's got to be revealed to you, and he has to give you understanding. So that's how we all got it, through someone else. Got to be taught, and he will give you understanding. Same way it is in school. We're taught and we get understanding when we are taught. This is how we got it. We get it. And that's how we got it. Because yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see two angels in white, sitting the one on the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. When they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if they have borne him hence, tell me where they laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now that's, first day of the week is what we call Sunday. It's some people would say it's the seventh day, but actually it's the first day. So it's not the seventh day, but the first day is Sunday. And the seventh day is Saturday. But anyway, so that's why we have worship on the first day of the week. Because the first day of the week in our calendar is Sunday. So, as we go on here, verse 21, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his feet and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I sent I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Then the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days later, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. So that is, what a statement right there. He said, My Lord and my God. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So this brings us to where we want to go today, and like the what we say, the statement that was used by Peter, and he said, Lord, I got in here, Lord, you know all things. He says, Lord, thou knowest all things. So after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. As we would say, if you want to break the word down, no thing. They caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was the Lord. I'm going to pause for a minute and go to the book of the Acts of the Apostles just to make a point. So the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. So remember, he was a gardener. They thought he was a gardener on the road to Emmaus. They thought he was a gardener by the tomb on the resurrection, that resurrection morning. So Luke writes here, he says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he's on the earth 40 days and he went back to heaven, and 10 days later he sent the Holy Ghost. So that's why they call, and that's the 50th day after the Passover. That is why the day is called the Day of Pentecost, because the 50th day after the Passover, being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, talking about John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? I think that, what a question. They knew who he was. He is the Messiah. They thought he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel at that time. He let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" A question. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come into and went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. So just the point I wanted to make there was how when he was, after his resurrection, he was on the earth for 40 days, showing himself, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and showing himself in many infallible proofs. So people thought he was a gardener. They didn't know who he was. And even as we go on in this account here on this evening, we want to just show you a little more of what he'd done after his resurrection. So try to get back where I was. So they didn't know it was him. And so he had to do his high priestly work, offer the blood unto God, which he received it because he is God. So anyway, we go on here, and Thomas wasn't there, and we go on here, and we finished that whole chapter out, and Simon Peter says he's going fishing. Everybody else went too. So when we go on here, we got to move on. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Notice that statement. He stood on the shore. They didn't know who he was. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, had ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." That's pretty good. Because you don't know, sometimes when people say something to you, you don't know who it is. You don't know what people may say to you. But they said no. He said unto them, "Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Soon as they were come to the land, and saw a fire of coals thereon, and fish laid thereon, and bread, Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. So then that's something they knew then. Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Talking about the fish. He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things." This is what I was talking about right here. He said unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Question. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now that was, if he wasn't God, he could have rebuked him. Like, you don't tell me. I don't know all things. Only God knows all things. That means he is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He is omnipotent. That means he has all power. He is omniscient. That means he's everywhere and every place. So he goes on here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but now shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So in other words, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and which wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are many other things which Jesus did, of which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So what a statement there that John made. If everything that Jesus done was written, the world couldn't even contain the books that should be written about everything that he done. So this is our lesson on today, what we wanted to drive home, and definitely the statement when he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. So we've been talking, like I said, on the last two or three weeks about a product that I can take time to promote on this broadcast, and that is you could go to this website, www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. And this is they have products, they have coffee, they have hot chocolate, they have tea, they have other products also, but these products are doctor recommended for the healing of the body. This is my wife, Ambrosia L. D. Cannon. So once again, www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. Go to that website and check out those products. You may be glad that you did. I definitely really, I like the, a couple of them, and I definitely like the hot chocolate. Definitely is a good product. So we thank God that we have were able to come to you on another broadcast session. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.